I can't even hear
goodness,
you. I can't
the
even hear
one
you.
Of one is missing. Uh-uh. I knew something was up.
Pop, that's almost twice as much going for the same price.
I just freaking love that Raider rookie logo.
Doing more vines.
Which one of these five quarterbacks has the worst set of pass catchers?
Okay, now I'm unmuted.
Guess how much
now
I
you're
muted.
This
for an auction.
Yeah, I
number
can't even hear you.
Five, you dirty yep. animal.
I'm telling you, these optic on-card autos are money.
Huh?
All right, here we go. Huh? I have no idea. His mic is muted. There you go. What's up, Andy?
What did the open's been playing on my screen for the past 30 seconds. The intro.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know. So are we live now? I couldn't see.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
How long have we been live for?
A minute. Type Y for yes. Type in for no. If you can see us.
No so off season, baby. We're live 365, 24/7.
So you saw the open. I didn't see the open at all. Welcome in. Obviously, we're talking about the NFL draft. We're going to get into all of that. But Andy, I truly do mean it. This is the juiciest A-list football card autograph controversy in a long time, featuring the GOAT, Tom Brady. So let me ask you this right off the jump, Andy. Would you ever pay $3,600 for a Tom Brady autograph?
$3,600?
That's how much it costs to get Tom Brady's signature at a recent event in Miami.
Oh, man. I'd love to get his signature, but no, I wouldn't pay $3,600. I would rather have an active NFL. I'd rather have Patrick Mahomes' autograph.
Right. So what we're going to do here, if you're not familiar with this story, what we're going to do is walk you through what happened. Okay. So there was an event this weekend in Miami. It cost $3,600 to attend and get a signature. And long story short, Tom Brady's signatures weren't great. As you could see, that does not look like Tom Brady's signature at all. And basically, he went to this event. He gave a very good motivational speech. Everybody that was there said that it was a very awesome motivational speech. But once again, $3,600. You also get a photo op. You also get a signed item from Tom Brady. Okay. But as you'll see, the signatures weren't all that great. Okay. You could see this football for yourself. And sources with knowledge of the contract, Tom Brady agreed to do 100 photos and 100 autographs, but the contract did clearly state that the sponsor is responsible for the purchase of the items through an approved vendor. But at the same time, the people that bought the tickets, including Derek Wagner, who bought $22,000 worth of tickets, Andy, said that there was no limitation on the items that they can get signed. So, Andy, first off, your thoughts on the initial wave of the story for you?
Wow. I mean, this is probably this is the worst autograph I've ever seen. I mean, this is like T. Higgins, Tyler Huntley bad right here. that's my initial reaction to it. And the other thing, it's almost like the autograph is so bad. Maybe Brady was thinking, like, I should make my autograph way worse on this, so I don't. So maybe like Fanatics looks the other way or something.
Yeah, I think he got nervous a little bit. If I'm being honest, I would never just say that, you know, outright, because you know he's got such a big contract with Fanatics, and he's so tight with Michael Rubin. He's been so involved with the Topps. Movement here, his baseball Topps cards and all of that, he could tell that this was not properly done. And what it's also saying here a little bit, he said Tom Brady was completely blindsided. This was supposed to be signatures for the VIPs of the conference, not a signing for his biggest collectors. So Brady thought it was just going to be people just being happy to get a signature of his, right? Not like actual diehard Brady collectors. But Andy, this was the first Super Bowl ball from Tom Brady to Rob Gronkowski. I mean, this is a priceless item. This isn't just some football. It's a game-used football that was brought in. Here's a game-used cleat that was brought in. A lot of people brought Bowman Chrome rookies. Brady, of course, will never sign a football card unless it's – I just don't think he'll ever sign a football card again. But Fernando Regato was one of the people. He said he was not affiliated with the speaking series, and he didn't know that there would be this many high-end collectors there. So my thing for this, Andy, if you are going to get a signature for $3,600, I would check to make sure that it was being done through Fanatics or whichever autograph company that that person is through. But I can also say this. Tom Brady should have just signed the items. Just sign it like how you normally sign it, right? Because, you know, these people spent thousands upon thousands of dollars to go to this event, and they have these items that actual Brady authenticators are going to say this isn't his signature, even though he actually did sign it.
Yeah, there's no way PSA is going to authenticate this. You're not going to get it authenticated from Beckett because it's like, I mean, this is terrible. And you're right. He should have just committed to it. Like, if you're going to sign it, I know you were blindsided, this and that, but I think he did the wrong move here. I think he should have committed to it. You're right, and done his usual signature, even like the Montreal Expos card. You know,
right?
That was, if you go back and look at his rookie signatures, they're even different from the Montreal's Expo one, which was a little bit. It's just a little bit more kind of quicker, you know, not quite as much detail to it. But this is straight poo-poo.
I honestly think he got nervous because it wasn't a Fanatics event. Because then, you know, right when this started happening, Andy, they started blaming Fanatics. And I understand there's a lot of people that have, you know, their valid criticisms of Fanatics, whether it's the baseball jerseys or whatever. But I was also able to get information myself that Fanatics had nothing to do with the event, which is interesting. So I think that played a role in it. A source said that a man close in proximity to Brady then told him to sign as fast as SHIT. And then Brady fulfilled his obligations, but still,
those people that got their items signed, like, I don't know, had a friend or relative with them that could snap a picture or something, like, you know, proving that it was Brady signing it. Because, I mean, that's really, like, other than you knowing that you had Brady sign it, no authenticator is probably going to authenticate that.
Right. So what I'm going to do, Andy, is give our viewers a few more. Or no, you go ahead. There you go.
Well, I wanted to show his Montreal Expos auto compared to an auto from his rookie year. Like that. This is an auto from his rookie year here. At least it's, you know, it's authenticated by Beckett. It's a 2000 playoff card. So it's from his rookie year. And you could see like how much detail he has in his auto. And this looks like an event signed auto. It was just the first one I pulled up. And then there's the one he did for Fanatics in the Montreal Expos card recently. And this card here in PSA 9, sealed numbered out of 5, sold for $30,000. It was discounted in half, Carter. The seller had it listed for $60,000 and took $30,000 and to buy it now for it. But look, you know, the signature's still much better than what you're seeing on those items there, but you can see a big difference from, you know, modern day to a 2000 Brady signature to that garbage that you showed me.
I'll tell you this. So what happens, Andy, is at this event, what they'll do is Brady actually doesn't sign the item in front of you. They'll take Brady to like a back room And the way I understand it is they'll get him to sign as many items without the person actually being there. And then the item just gets returned to you a little bit later at the event. So I don't believe the people actually got to witness Tom Brady give the signatures, which is something I don't like. I personally like to see the signatures. That's how it's done at the National. I understand that sometimes you can't do that because there's just so much stuff that they have to sign. But, you know, I think Tom should have just signed it normally. But I can understand, you know, Fanatics is paying him a lot of money. And he was probably thinking about all the contracts that he has with them and stuff like that. But, man, that just sucks. You know, you go to Miami, a very expensive city. And that's what, probably a $5,000 trip if you factor in the ticket, the gas, hotels, all that travel. And the thing that makes Brady very interesting, you know, he is the Michael Jordan of the football hobby, is his autograph has changed so much even from, you know, early in his career.
And this is a 10. This is what PSA considers a 10 autograph from Brady right here. This is iconic rookie ticket auto. This is arguably his most desirable card. I would argue it is. This one, just authentic auto 10. The card's not actually graded. Sold for $21,000, which actually I think is down a little bit from when he was actually active. But look here. Look at that auto. I mean, there's a big difference there and between that and the Montreal's Fanatics auto on the baseball card. And then even on that the other Bowman that I showed you. Yeah, this the playoff contenders round number autographs here. I mean, that auto is different as well. So you have three kind of variations. I'm sure people have seen other variations of Brady's auto as well, but these are all authenticated, whereas those that you've seen from that event, man, that's just unfortunate.
Yeah, so we'll show you. And Andy, I'm going to share my screen here real quick. We'll share a few of these other ones. Okay, let me see. This one right here. Okay, so there's a close-up of the cleat. Okay, that's obviously really bad. And then these are all like Super Bowl game used footballs right here. And that's obviously a chair. Someone brought the only full ticket book from Tom Brady's like rookie year. And as you can see, it just doesn't, it's just not good.
That needs to be in the roast.
Yeah, it does. I hope so. I'm looking forward to the Tom Brady roast on May 5th. You know, for me, it's kind of weird because I'm not a Brady fan. Like I've always been a Peyton guy. And I went to an event where Peyton had to sign a bunch of stuff. Andy, I'm just telling you what I saw, okay? And I can guarantee you Peyton had to sign more stuff than Brady did at this event. Good flush signature. Peyton's signature has always been the same, the way I understand it, right? So it's always weird when there's different types of signatures, Andy, for athletes, because they can sign it however they want. And then, Andy, it gets into that slippery slope. Like for you, I always prefer the earliest signature possible of the athlete. What say you?
Yeah, that's interesting. I think so too. I like the early signatures because a lot of times it's before they started signing hundreds of things, thousands of things. And then, you know, some of the higher paid athletes, some of the quarterbacks they've got Dak Prescott, Anthony Richardson have been in auto pin type of issues there. And, you know, that's never a good thing. It's not good for the collector. It's not good for the overall market of their autograph cards and stuff. So, yeah, I like to get the early autographs when they just started signing stuff. A lot of times they put in more quality. Look at Ja'Marr Chase, like when he used to put in Jay Chase, the number, all kinds of stuff. And then it's like gets quicker and quicker and quicker. But then at the same time, like guys like T. Higgins, like if he goes and changes his auto now and starts just like – actually signing his name instead of just a one line thing, then I'd be like, what is this? This isn't T. Higgins. What's going on here? You know? So I don't know how I would react. I almost am like, I'm used to just the one line thing from some of these guys. So it's like, you get used to a certain thing. Like what if Jordan Love no longer puts the heart instead of like typing his last name. You know, that would be sad, man. It would be a travesty, and that would, I think that would definitely affect his market, his autograph market.
Yeah, and honestly, like I saw a few people mention George Pickens. Andy, they're doing some side by sides of Brady's autos versus George Pickens' auto. I was like, that's so hilarious. But you know, I also would say this. If you're going to get something signed, like for instance, Andy, I'm a huge Derek Jeter fan. He was my favorite athlete growing up. I've completely faded the sport of baseball outside of a few LSU guys now. But Andy, recently Jeter was signing autos for $1,300 per item. Okay.
That's
insane. That's absolutely insane. You got to ask yourself, is it worth it? Is it worth getting Jeter's auto? Like if you're going to one of these events to get something signed, is the item you're getting signed worth the penmanship, right? Like I can understand going all the way there to try and get a game used football signed by Brady himself, but still, you know, some of these autograph signings for some of these legendary athletes, Andy, they are so expensive. You can get one of the items that you're getting signed already signed for like half the price.
Yeah, half the price sounds about right, you know. And I'll tell you who's got it right, man. Here, I'm gonna throw my screen up. JD5. How can you go wrong? It's such a repeatable signature. You know, he's got to take the number five. But how could you go wrong with that signature, man? JD5 all day.
So as a Jaden collector, that's not how he signs everything. But only these cards he signed JD5. So I have one of these, and I actually don't want to sell it. I was thinking about selling it. You know, these will go down to probably like 50 to 75 when he actually plays in the NFL and is all his other stuff. I was thinking about moving this card in particular. But, you know, once again, the signatures switch up. So it's a weird thing. So Andy, before we get into some actual NFL draft talk, what are some of your like major takeaways? Because I had been in a deep wormhole with the story, because I've gone to these kinds of events before, not where it costs $3,600 to get someone's auto. What are some of your takeaways? Because there might be some people that watch this and be like, what can I do to avoid this happening?
Yeah, I think you have to go to like make sure the signing event that you're going to is just know your information. Like, right, like when Brady signed a Fanatics exclusive deal in 2020, if the event you're going to is not sponsored by Fanatics and Fanatics is not affiliated, maybe it's not a good idea to try and get the auto there. Even if they say you can, now you know, like there's a chance that the athlete's going to pull some funny business like this and either, you know, fudge his autograph because he's not comfortable with being there or whatever the case may be. And if you're not in front of the player and you don't really know what's going on, I wouldn't get my memorabilia signed, to be honest with you. I wouldn't do it, man. I think you're better off waiting. I think you would be better off paying $5,000 at a Fanatics hosted event for a real, like a real autograph that can be authenticated on the spot, and pay more because you know that item's authenticated and you'll be able to, you'll have a nice high resale value on it. And then when it comes to the roast, Carter, I think there's a great opportunity. It's going to be a massively televised event. There's going to be tons of little clips and GIFs and memes from it and everything. And I think it's a great opportunity to see a nice little spike on Brady cards, veteran and rookie, the entire spectrum. I was looking at a ton. There's still a lot of people buying Buccaneers uniform Brady stuff for a premium. And you can make a nice profit, I think, over this little stretch here. You know, pretty much peaking. Like when they peak the commercials and the ads for this thing, probably right here after the draft. I know it's what, May? You said May 5th or something?
May 5th, yeah.
May 5th. So Sunday, May 5th. That's only a week and a half away. So as soon as the draft is over, I would say it makes good sense to do like a Friday or Saturday night auction, 7-day auction, and end it the night before that show airs.
Yeah, so we do get a super chat here from Avery. Oh, sweet. First time catching the live. Love the content. Go Jags. T-Law has such a clean signature. Dude, Trevor does have some awesome penmanship. And he also has a consistent signature. He signs everything. And he's also a fan of sports cards, right? He did some stuff with Card Collector 2 a few years ago at the Super Bowl. And he just loves cards. He had his own Topps set, per se. But Avery, thank you for the super chat. You know, Jets Crazy makes a good point, even though he is a Jets fan. Our guy Scovey, he said, the Brady inventory pool moving forward is going to be small. Tom just doesn't like signing, honestly. It's just he is a hard signature to get. And now you see why. But yeah, you know, I was talking to Gabe about this not too long ago. One thing you have to understand with these millionaire athletes is they don't need to sign anything. You know, you are truly at the mercy of them, even if you're paying it, because it's their signature, right? You know, if they lose a game the next day, they're going home to, I'm sure they take it hard. They want to win. They want their legacies to be golden, but you know, they're millionaires. Like, this is one of the lower things on the totem pole for them to do, especially Brady. You know, after this Miami event, Andy, he flew to Barcelona to take on the El Clasico soccer match. He was at Real Madrid versus Barcelona this weekend. He is a very busy, active guy. He co-owns a WNBA team. He's about to get into ownership in the NFL. So it's tough. I hate it for the collectors. I hate it, but if you guys have anything else on that, feel free to comment down below. And that's what we want you to do. We want your full thoughts on this topic. All right, Andy, we are closer to the NFL draft. What are your big takeaways from a football card perspective?
Well, you know, my big takeaway is not to make plays on the draft this week off of eBay. That's my big takeaway. But I would be looking at COMC.com, and I would specifically be focusing on some of the skill position players. We talked about Jalen Wright and Ladd McConkey and stuff, and some of those guys last week. I think there is a sweet spot for those guys on there. I think the biggest question mark is going to be who goes at number two. You know, I think that's the big thing. Like, we all know that Caleb Williams is 99.9% a bear at pick number one, but then who goes at pick number two? And I think it's exciting for like if Jaden Daniels goes at number two to the Commanders. I think that's great. The Commanders aren't moving back. I think it's going to be great, like at the end of his rookie season for Jaden. But I really, really, if I could get who gets picked at number three to the Patriots, and if I could get that right, then I would be making money, because there's still an opportunity to make money on the guy that goes to the Patriots. No shade on Jaden. If he goes to Commanders, it's great, and I think it's great for his outlook. But ultimately, if he goes to the Patriots, this is better for the card market. This is, you know, all about football cards, and the player that goes to the Patriots is going to realize a potential upside similar to what we see on Caleb Williams today. And so, you know, when I look at Caleb Williams' Bowman Chrome University first autos, and I see those at $250, $300, sometimes more depending on the serial numbering, etc. And then I see, you know, Drake May at $100 to $150, Jaden Daniels autos at $150. He doesn't have Bowman Chrome University first, but he has the Onyx and some of those other ones. So, and then I see JJ McCarthy in that same range as well, about $150. I'm like, okay, there's upside for whoever goes to the Patriots to see that. I know Belichick's not there anymore, but it's still the Patriots, and I think that there will be a knee-jerk reaction to whoever's drafted at number three by them.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I mean, the Patriots, I mean, it's such a huge market. I just think
Drake May's stuff is just going to go nuclear when once he actually gets on an NFL team, because, you know, Jaden, there's so much hype because he was already a Heisman winner. You know, there's so many people with Drake May that the big benefit of Drake May is that he's not reached his potential yet. You know, Jaden was a year five quarterback. Drake May was just year three. It's the same thing with the JJ McCarthy. We've not seen them play at the level that they need to play. So yeah, I'm with you. I think Drake May stuff is going to go up after he is drafted by the Patriots at number three, or I could see a potential bigger spike, even though it's not as big of a team, if the Vikings actually move up to number three and they take Drake May or Jaden Daniels, whichever one at number three. If that were to happen and you attach him to Justin Jefferson in the NFC North, you can also, you know, because that would be the story. If some team traded up for the third quarterback in the draft, that would generate so much interest.
Yeah, it would. And Kevin O'Connell is a household name now. They know he's a dynamic play caller. They know he's going to air it out. And you have Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison in the wide receiver room, which are both household names, especially Jay Jets. So it's like that would be a huge landing spot as well. I really dig that. And so Drake May, like I'm very tempted to make an offer on this card. If you see, there is one Bowman Chrome University first. I'll leave for you guys. I am going to make an offer on this card because I think it has serious potential. Even just looking at the recent solds, April 17th is 5 days ago. You have a 102.50, but there's like you have this one that's a few shot of 150 for 132. So you could get it slightly cheaper on eBay. But remember, it's too late to buy and flip this on draft night for eBay. Right. And, you know, and by time the preseason comes around, you have draft night instance. You've got NFLPA premier cards. You've got draft picks cards out. They start rolling out, you know, Legacy and Chronicles and, you know, these, there's going to be probably five or six, you know, college uniform sets that are from Panini and stuff coming out by then. And, you know, unless he signs a Fanatics exclusive deal for his autograph stuff, then this card could definitely lose value by then and not be the main focal point of his market right now. Landing spot, Carter, this card is very, I think, appropriately priced, and you may be able to make an offer right now and snipe this from this guy on ComC. And beautiful thing about this platform, it's integrated with eBay, so listing shows up on eBay. You could buy it here, immediately turn around and list it, and your item will be listed here. It'll be listed on eBay, and you could potentially electronically flip it in that time period.
Yeah. I mean, I've never done the ComC flipping thing. I kind of want to try it without actually, it's what Star Stock should have been. RIP Star Stock.
Yeah, they have an actual scan of the card here. You can also reprocess this as Elite for $2. It's like a 48-hour turnaround time, but they'll actually take a high def, picture with a nice camera for you. So if you have a refractor card, I wouldn't do it on this one. It's all about the autograph here and that first logo. But if you had a refractor, heck yeah, man. Because there is serial numbered options here. There's not many. Like, there's literally only this one autograph card for JD on here. It's 250. See, that's a little steep for me because this card is selling for $100 on eBay. So, like, to pay that much more, I feel like my upside's way limited because I feel like Jaden Daniels, with him not having the Bowman Chrome University, Panini's chomping at the bits to produce instants and stuff of this guy because his market is completely untapped by them. You know?
Yeah. I mean, Jaden, Heisman Trophy winner, also from the West Coast, could be going to the East Coast. Huge, huge, huge fan base for this guy. He was on Nightcap yesterday with Shannon Sharp and Ocho. And Andy, we have JJ McCarthy here. I'll tell you what an NFL scout told me months ago, and I was floored. JJ McCarthy is that quarterback that feels a little Zach Wilson-y. I don't think he's that bad per se, But JJ McCarthy, I still feel there's just something telling me that he's going to be the second quarterback taken in this draft. I don't know why. I would never take him over Jaden Daniels. I don't think I would take him over Drake May. But for some reason, and I said this on an LSU show like in January, I was like, JJ McCarthy is that winner type of QB that just shoots up in the draft. And one NFL source told me, do not be shocked if McCarthy is the pick for the Commanders. I also think and believe there are powerful people at Washington who like JJ McCarthy a lot. So, Andy, your thoughts on JJ McCarthy's market and winning a natty at Michigan?
Yeah, man, I just think his cards have been, like, as you can see on ComC, they've been sold out for quite a while. They sold out either at the end of last year, the beginning of last year. This is also, as you notice, he's got the 2022 Bowman Chrome University. I kind of agree with you. I think he could very well be drafted at number two. Man, this guy has gotten so much hype from the national championship throughout the combine, and this draft process is going to be super interesting. If the team was wanting to hit the ground running, though, how can you compete against Jaden Daniels' rushing upside and his 1,500 pass attempts over his larger than average college career? He gives you the most pro ready upside. So it's like, I do like the penmanship. I like the little JJ McCarthy smiley face, and you know, it's stuff like that, man. Like the attitude, the leadership abilities, the vibes he gives off in the locker room. I know that plays a big deal into, you know, the intangibles, almost like, you know, those Joe Burrow type of intangibles that teams want. They look to have a leader like JJ McCarthy. So now I know that plays into it a lot. And then you have a lot of people, a lot of chefs in the kitchen making the decision on who to fire, because this is a big deal here this year for the Commanders, for the Patriots, for the Vikings, you know, even for the Broncos. The Broncos are lurking there. We haven't talked about them picking up Zach Wilson yet, but picking up Zach Wilson is a done deal for the Broncos, and that kind of adds a new wrinkle to the mix, but he's pretty terrible. So I still think that the Broncos are trying to actively move up and draft a quarterback as well. So there's a lot of chefs in the kitchen this year.
It is kind of weird to think about, like, Zach Wilson is the same age as Michael Penix, Bo Nix, and Jaden Daniels. It's always strange, or they're all around 24. With the Broncos, they're not going to roll Zach Wilson out as their starter next season. I don't know. I find the Broncos to be in like the weirdest position in the draft. And there's also a piece of me that thinks that the Broncos are just going to tank this next year.
They could, man. They really could.
Because Bo Nix is being so heavily mocked to them. I don't know if they're going to go in that direction, though.
You know, they really could. I mean, just look at the AFC West in general. Raiders trending up. Chiefs Super Bowl champions, Chargers trending up big time. They got to play all those guys twice. The schedule is not going to be easy for the Broncos. And then you look at them like bringing back the old uniforms. Maybe, you know, I don't know. If you kind of read between the lines, maybe the Broncos are at least another year out. So they're one of those teams that have a larger than average fan base. If you look at the social media analytics and stuff, the Broncos have a pretty big fan base, quite a bit of Broncos fans out there, and they get quite a bit of hype. But, you know, you have a fairly lackluster wide receiver room. You don't have a ton of weapons. You know, I think there's a lot of building in the trenches they need to do there, and it's going to be a more difficult than average schedule. So I'm purely viewing any Denver Broncos players as flip on news, flip on hype, you know, flip them when I can, because this is not a team that I see has like playoff potential in 2024.
Yeah, I'm a Sean Payton guy, as you know, Andy, but still, let's go to so Gabe has actually flipped a lot of Michael Penix cards, I know firsthand, but let's go to Jim. He says the Patriots haven't received a serious offer for the third pick. I'll tell you this. The Patriots are asking way too much for the third pick. I feel that they have been offered plenty. I'm talking multiple first round picks over the next couple of years. I think the Patriots are asking for something ridiculous, an offer that they can't refuse. And they shouldn't trade out unless they get an absolutely stupendously ridiculous offer, which would be something like four first round picks or two firsts and Justin Jefferson or something like that, right? Something what the Bears got. I just don't think the Patriots are trading out here.
I don't either. Yeah. I don't either, especially not with new coaching. I mean, across the board, these guys are kind of want to, plant their flag and say, okay, well, this is my team. Let's get my guy in here. I'm sure they've got their eye on one of these quarterbacks at number three,
Oisey, baby. This is interesting. The Jaguars, I've seen a few mocks that have had the Jaguars moving up to get Adunze or Malik Nabers.
They need to. I mean, I actually have a hot take on the Jaguars and Trevor Lawrence for 2024. And this is an all-out arms race, in my opinion, for the Jaguars. I think last year was their year, and now you look at what the Texans have done and what the Texans are about to do in 2024. They're a dark horse to bet on to win the AFC. I don't even think they're a dark horse to win the AFC South at this point. They're probably the favorite when we get closer to the season. But I think they're a dark horse to actually make a Super Bowl run, at least an AFC championship run out of the AFC South. So this Jaguars team has got to step on the gas. And adding Gabe Davis and letting Calvin Ridley walk to the Titans is not the move there that I think they should make. I think they need to add a yak monster like Nabers or just a stud like Rome and Dunze. And that would be big time. And then, let's see where the cards fall for the Jaguars. I still think that the Texans are going to be winning this division in 2024. And because of that, Carter, I'll just say Trevor Lawrence, I will not buy him until October, November. I will be targeting Trevor Lawrence because I think his market will hit an all-time low for his career this year in October, November.
Because
that's my hot take.
You think the Jaguars are going to struggle?
I think the Jaguars are going to struggle, and I think that Trevor Lawrence is going to hit a career bottom of his market, and I'll be able to pick up rookie ticket autos for maybe 150, something like that, somewhere similar to where Justin Fields is at right now, maybe a little bit more, but not much more, October, November.
Yeah, so – I think the Titans, I still think they're a ways away, but man, they spent a lot of money to go get some really good players. The Texans are going to be really good. And then you have Anthony Richardson and the Colts. I think the Colts will add another weapon in the first round. I think Brian Thomas Jr. is a very real possibility to go into the Colts. Let me see. Okay, let me go to this right here for John before we get to play of the week. He says, Carter, I see Justin Jefferson reuniting with Burrow and Chase and Cincy. You don't see T. Higgins staying around. All right, I will tell you this. Will they reunite at some point, Chase, Jefferson, and Burrow? Maybe, but it's not happening this next year, okay? They've already paid Burrow. Burrow maxed out, all right? Chase is going to max out. I guarantee you he is going to max out. Justin Jefferson is going to max out, okay? Sure, they would love to play with each other. But if, Justin Jefferson signs a max out deal, guess who else is going to get a deal close to Justin Jefferson, if not better? Ja'Marr Chase. Mm-hmm. So the more friendly thing to do, if they are close, is to increase the pocketbooks. You can always get together and take a veteran discount 5 years from now. And you know what I'm talking about, the Karl Malone Lakers, right? You can always do that down the road. But Andy, you only get one opportunity to get that fat second contract. So they would need to take discounts. It's just not going to happen. So there you go. Andy, no, go on, go on.
Yeah, the money's just not there for that. I mean, the thing is, there's still, I think it's questionable if T. Higgins is a true alpha. He was in his rookie season, but I mean, the guy has struggled with injuries since then every year, and that could be happenstance. I would like to see him given the opportunity on a team that doesn't have a true established alpha, or at least like a guy that's better than him definitively. Like Ja'Marr Chase is definitively better than him. I'm sorry, but he is. And Justin Jefferson is as well. So the contract difference between Justin Jefferson and Higgins is too great. Like Justin Jefferson should be the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL, you know, or one of the top three. So, you know, I think T. Higgins is top 15. Sure, I'll give him top 15, but he's probably somewhere between 10 and 15 versus top 10.
We get to hobby tip of the week. Andy, mine has to do with the Brady thing again. Just be careful with signatures. Basically, yeah, make sure you prep this pen, all that stuff, and it's just so important. So there you go, hobby tip for you, Andy.
Yeah, I'm looking at the release schedule. This is going to be interesting. So we've got 2024 Leaf Metal hobby box coming out in just a couple days here, kind of timed with the draft. This is going to feature a lot of these draft guys, including Jaden Daniels. So it's going to impact the Jaden Daniels market. As you can see, that auto does look a little bit different there. Yeah, it almost looks like it says JD, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he only signed the JD5 at the National that way. So that's part of the reason why I want to keep that card.
So this is five autograph cards plus two base cards in each hobby box. The hobby boxes are currently selling for $180. You know, I don't know what the exact hit rate is going to be of quarterbacks, but of course you're going to have a lot of skill position players coming out in the draft. These are popular cards, especially the lower serial numbered versions. These are chrome finish cards, hence the name Metal there. And these cards do pretty well until all the Panini cards come out. So it's definitely a flippable product, and it's definitely going to impact the market of guys like JD. So those come out this Friday, the 26th. So that's going to be a pretty hot product, I think, when it first comes out. And it's not sold out, surprisingly. And then you have May 17th, Leaf Vivid coming out. I like the Leaf Metal a little bit better, but I know that there's some cards in Vivid, especially the autograph cards. Once again, seven cards per box, five autographs, $216. And I'm sure they're going to have some of these guys in there as well, Carter.
Let's go, Leaf. I've always been a Leaf collector. So there you go, Leaf to the moon. Once again, we want to thank nooffseason.com, cgccards.com as well. $12 a card, 40-day turnaround. You can't beat it. And once again, nooffseason.com network. Shout out to Paul Hickey and the crew. Let's see. Mark says he's been buying a lot of Josh Downs.
Well, he's cheap. I would say you're getting in at the right price point, right? When I look at players to buy, it is challenging to buy into second year players. I like to get creative. I like to be able to target rookie autos from Obsidian or Spectra or some of these other sets, like some nice limited RPAs, rookie ticket autos, and stuff like that. And when I look at these second year players, I just find myself going back to Prism. I mean, it's like really just such a huge focus on Prism still. So I'm looking forward to buying second year players, unfortunately, probably closer to when the season starts or October, November. And so therefore, I think I think still a better market strategy is to target a little bit older players. Generally speaking, my strategy right now is to go back and look at the Terry McLaurins and the guys like the DJ Moores and stuff like that and see what kind of auctions are ending for those guys this week, because I can get more creative. And I know the common denominators I'm looking for, Carter. I'm looking for, you know, color match, serial number cards, rookie autographs that have some nice bling and aesthetics to them. And a lot of, you know, a lot of auctions ending on a weekly basis. And I have a full market availability, if you will, call it that, for, you know, second or not second, but third, fourth, fifth year players than I do second year players right now.
Let's go. Remember, Brandon Ayuk was one of your biggest plays last year, and you profited big time. Shout out to Ryan. He says CJ Stroud has been following him. Money, are you?
Oh, that's nice. I know he's talking about ripping packs. So, you know, a lot of guys that break a lot of boxes, rip a lot of packs, they talk about how a player follows them. I guess like they get lucky and pull a certain player. So, if you want a player following you, CJ Stroud is the guy you want to be ripping out of packs.
Yeah, I thought you were saying on social media, and then I was like, well, if he's actually following you, do we need to call authorities? I mean, is he stalking Ryan? If you want me to step out, I'm just kidding. I like CJ a lot, and very affable guy, and it's going to be hard for him to fail with the weapons that he has next year. So, there you go.
I want to ask you, Carter, in terms of Anthony Richardson's auto market, you know, let's say there's a Anthony Richardson Silver Prism rookie auto for $625. Do you think that that's a good deal? Do you think his auto market is going to be impacted long term by this whole auto pin speculation?
Yeah, I don't know, Andy. I did a video on my NFL channel about Anthony Richardson. I was blown away. That was the first time I really sat down and studied him. And I think he will be special. I really do think so. $625 though for a Silver Prism auto, that's always been like a tough area for me, Andy. Is once cards, as far as like a flipping mindset or getting cards for a good price mindset. Sure, if he is the next Josh Allen, $625 is a great deal. But if you get out of that $300, $400, $500 range, number one, I don't have a whole lot of money. But number two, it just kind of cuts things off for me, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, I get you. There's definitely a lot more risk involved. There was a $500 auction that ended February 5th. And then April 11th, there was a $570 auction for a PSA 9 of that card, and PSA authenticated the autograph. In fact, the person got the auto authenticated and graded. They gave the auto a 10, gave the card a 9. That card just sold April 11th, just 12 days ago, for $570. And so we also have a raw card that closed in auction, that same card, the Silver Prism Rookie Auto for AR, just last week for $712 in auction. It was a DC Sports 87 auction, 21 bids, $712. So people are not really bothered by the auto pin speculation on AR at all, it seems to me. But I still go, you know what market I go and look at to compare AR, because I can't compare him to CJ Stroud or Bryce Love or Bryce Young or anybody. I compare him to Jordan Love from 2020. You know, I feel like Jordan Love really just kind of started his career this past year. Before that, he was really just kind of the butt of a joke in the NFL, being that high of a draft pick to just sit on the bench for a couple years. But I look at his Silver Prism Rookie Auto PSA 9. That's currently closing an auction for $740. So if so there's a little bit of upside there compared, if you were to draw that comparison.
I didn't know that there was. I'm serious. I try and keep up with as much hobby stuff as I possibly can. I didn't know there was the auto pin stuff. So like the Dak Prescott thing. Okay, it makes sense now. I didn't know.
Yeah. It's so they did confirm that Dak Prescott at one point had had set up through his agent an auto pen service. It's something they've got to do through their agent. It's not cheap, you know. It's expensive, but I don't think the player. It's not like the player specifically said, "I want an auto pen." They basically said, "I'm tired of signing stuff. Can you help me out, man?" That's probably what they said to their agent, and then their agent made a couple phone calls and been around for a while, knew what to do, and got an auto pen. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those things, like when you got a book of stickers that's 100 pages long. You know,
it's a lot.
It's a lot.
Okay, here's what I'll tell you, Andy. Is obviously I'm not a professional athlete, but I grew up with bad penmanship, and I was at the LSU spring game a few weeks ago, and I got asked to sign two autographs. Okay, they both look terrible. I've never signed a good autograph, and I've done it probably like maybe 10 to 15 times for like YouTube events or whatever. And I get nervous signing. I really, really, really do. Every single signature I've ever gotten is just terrible. I couldn't imagine doing thousands. Now you should do a good sig, especially if it's like an on card auto, but you know, there was the famous Luka Doncic story where his big one of one national treasures, they believe it was his mother who signed it. So there you go. And I want to ask you this one. Let's go to Sammy Ruiz. Who would you rather have, Brandon Ayuk or T. Higgins?
I think whichever one I could get cheaper, comparably speaking. I like Ayuk, especially being in the NFC. You know, they were just in the Super Bowl. Him and Purdy have good chemistry. I think Debo's, you know, he's got a little bit higher injury volatility with the role that he plays. There's also a chance that Ayuk could land on a new team still, I think.
I think it's a real thing.
He could be part of a draft night trade. I don't know.
So for those that don't know, wink, wink, nod, nod. Brandon Ayuk's best friend is Jaden Daniels. All right. Ooh. They are thick as thieves. All right. So let's talk about a team that would make the most sense for Brandon Ayuk to sign to. Okay. So Washington, they got a number one. And then Jahan Dotson sucks, but he's their number two, and they spent first round draft capital. Of the elite teams that Jaden Daniels could go to that has absolutely no receiving firepower, it's the New England Patriots. Mm-hmm. I think if Jaden goes to the Patriots, Brandon Ayuk will be a Patriot. It makes too much sense. They have nothing at wide receiver. And if you really want your rookie quarterback to succeed, pay someone that has played with Jaden Daniels before, Brandon Ayuk, and they were very good together, even though Jaden was only a true freshman. They're close friends. That just makes the most sense. Patriots can drop a bag on a number one, and Jaden has no weapons. There's no weapons in New England. They're the worst supporting cast in the league, if you ask me, a wide receiver. So I think that very well could happen. I think it will. I think it will happen if Jaden were to go number three.
That would be huge. I mean, just looking at his market right now for Brandon Ayuk, now, I know, granted, this car is an 8.5 and the patch is not great, but look at some of the offers going on Brandon Ayuk right now. I don't even need to look at the T. Higgins market because I'll tell you it's more expensive than this.
Wow.
Brandon Ayuk, National Treasures out of 99, BGS 8.5. Who cares about the grade? It's the card I'm after here. For $53, that is a steal. That is what I call a snipe. That right there is like enough indication that I know that tells me I need to be looking at the Brandon Ayuk market this week hard.
Hey, it was around this time you made a bunch of IU plays. Actually, it was a little bit closer to the national. I mean, he could really play. I mean, there's just like, will he ever be a top five wide receiver in the NFL? Probably not. But route running, yeah, he's up there. I mean, he's just really freaking good. And I would like to see him go to a new team and play with Jaden Daniels. So we'll see. You know, he's been very cryptic since the Super Bowl loss. And I could get why he was pissed off by the Super Bowl loss. They should have thrown to him more. He is their man coverage beater. The Chiefs played more man coverage versus San Francisco than anybody else versus San Francisco. And Shanahan crapped the bed in the Super Bowl again. And Shanahan's the best coach in the NFL outside of Andy Reid. But he didn't have a good game plan in the Super Bowl. It happened. So there you go. Now, it is time for play of the week. Is Brandon Ayuk your play of the week, or did you have someone else, Andy?
Dude, I'm gonna roll with him. I'm like digging into the Brandon Ayuk market on COMC right now to see what I can find. This pink prism, this pink pulsar. Well, this is just a pink prism, but this is the card that I bought at the National. I actually bought the pink pulsar. $50 cash and sold it for $125. But this is a good looking card here. But I mean, these prices are a little bit high. I'd be making an offer. You never know what you get accepted, but you can see the difference here. Look at that scan. And then that's somebody that reprocessed as elite. So a big difference there in quality of photograph. You see what I'm saying?
Okay. So the elite is to the right.
Yeah.
That does look a lot better.
A lot better. But but yeah, because, you know, I could buy Brandon Ayuk on eBay. I mean, he's an established veteran. I have a full spectrum of his market available to me. So I'm not worried about his cards losing value. I mean, this guy is a great dynasty asset. He's in his prime. So he's got another great, you know, 5-6 years ahead of him. So there is no concern about me buying the cards now, not being able to flip them on draft hype. I'm not worried about that. If he gets traded to the Patriots and then they draft Jaden Daniels, that's huge, man. I think that's something that's going to continue accumulating hype into the season. But then I have the safety and surety to know that Brandon Ayuk, wherever he goes, he's going to be a great asset to have long-term, for long-term meaning the next 3 to 5 years. You know, if I look at his dynasty outlook, he's a guy that I want to invest in. So, you know, I'm totally fine with actually digging into him on eBay this week. And he's a perfect candidate for play of the week this week.
Andy, I'm going to go with I think I got Terry McLaurin last week. This is a player who's burned me in fantasy. This is a guy that everyone tells you is really, really, really good with the advanced metrics, but the production's not there. I know he's had a lot of touchdown bad luck, but I look at the Carolina Panthers and I'm like, who is Bryce going to throw to outside of Deontay Johnson? Mm. All right. I was like, his autos go for $11 out the door. Let me see. I was looking at some last night.
2019 rookie ticket auto. Beautiful card. Probably my favorite year set. I wish they would bring back that set. And I know they eventually will, but probably won't be till like 2029 or something. But 2019 rookie ticket auto is so sick, especially the optic variations, that thick chrome stock card, on card rookie auto. They have such nice scarcity. 2019 product as a whole has really nice scarcity. If you look at the optic hollows, those are considerably rare, way more rare than they are in 2020. The silver prism in 2019 from the prism set is a true short print card, like print run of 150 or less. That's a nice card. So like you just have, I don't know, probably like 7 or 8 times more scarcity, generally speaking, in the same cards from 2019 compared to 2020. When Panini reacted to the modern day, whatever you want to call it, sports card bubble, COVID boom, whatever you want to call it. So yeah, I'm all about that 2019 draft class as well. And Deontay Johnson's just super cheap right now, man.
Yeah. I did a share screen here, Andy.
I mean, look, that was a number to 49 for $8 out the door. And then, you know, that lot right there for $20 out the door, that's insane, if you ask me. And that was like, what, a week and a half ago? He's going to get targets. I mean, there is just no other way around it. I know Carolina's going to draft another receiver, so there will be more receiving competition. But you got to remember, they're drafting a receiver at the beginning of the second round. Now, what's interesting is the beginning of the second round has always been a good spot for NFL draft picks. For whatever reason, T. Higgins was one of those guys. But still, they could flame out. Like, Carolina's not done the best job of getting receiving talent in. With the worst pick of the draft for me last year was Jonathan Mingo, one of the worst ones. And, you know, Mingo stinks. So Diontae Johnson is going to I think gonna put up some numbers next year. So
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, and you know, like you study the film, but just, you know, watching Bryce play last year, and he's in my home division. You know, he wants to get the ball out quick. Right? They don't have much protection for him either. He just certainly can't take big hits. So he wants to get the ball out quick. Well, who excels in the short and intermediate? Diontae Johnson. I mean, he is he's a very good route runner in the short and intermediate, and he can get open almost every time. Man, you look at his separation, route win rates and stuff against man and press coverage. Diontae Johnson's excellent. So yeah, I think he's going to get peppered with targets. Which could convert quite nicely for the Panthers this year.
Diontae. I've actually been drafting him a decent amount on Underdog, even though his price did shoot up. One guy I'm not drafting at cost right now is George Pickens. He's been kind of a fade for me at pick number 51. How many Underdog drafts are you in, Andy?
In right now, none. I'm not in any slow drafts, but I have eclipsed double digits for the big board. So,
oh, you double good,
double digits, baby. We're over 10.
I did 20 big boards, and I've probably done 40 drafts overall. You guys, you could say I'm hooked. Next year, I did though, Andy. I did get one of the best Twitter follows ever yesterday, and he's a dream guest for this show. Evan Silva followed me yesterday.
Let's go,
Evan freaking Silva. I just love him. And,
yeah, I love me some ETR, man. It's one of my favorite podcasts. Shout out to Establish the Run, Evan Silva.
Yeah, Levitan and personal friend of the show, Scott Smith. Big fan of what we're doing, man. So. They actually just did their mock draft podcast. I'm going to go check that out right after we get done here.
And you did a breakdown on Evan Silva's latest first round mock draft.
Yeah.
Which is where I brought up a lot of my points about, you know, the whole number JJ McCarthy at number two. So definitely check out Power Hour NFL, guys. If you aren't subscribed yet, you gotta subscribe to the channel. You're putting out some excellent videos over there, Carter. NFL, I love it.
We're just trying to kill it, man. Do you have a draft hot take before Thursday? Because you're gonna be doing a Thursday night show.
Yeah, man. I'm gonna be live Thursday night. Hot take outside of some of the ones that we talked about. Yeah, I just think that there's going to be a trade up. There's got to be a trade. I've been sticking with the Vikings and the Broncos, but I think one of these teams is going to do something that unexpected. Like, I could see the Chargers doing something totally unexpected. I feel like they are a total wild card there. At number five, and potentially the Cardinals too, but I do think the Cardinals go with wide receiver, you know, and I think the Chargers could surprise us. There could be something very interesting going on with the Chargers. I don't have a real super hot take. Do you?
Yeah. So I think Brock Bowers is so fascinating to me. I think that's I think that's the most interesting skill guy in the first round, right? I have a good idea where BTJ is going. Some of that sourcing, some of that's just how I see him fit. I think AD Mitchell is going to get overdrafted. I'm not an AD guy. I'm okay on Worthy, but I think Brock Bowers' fit is going to matter so much, because if he is going to be productive, you got to use him in a certain way, if that makes sense. I think he can either break the NFL or he can go to a team where they're not using him properly. But Brock Bowers is such a huge college market. He is the best college tight end arguably ever. All right. And it's interesting. There's not a whole lot of people talking about him. I mean, he was in the Heisman race before he got hurt last year. So, and I'm not glad he got hurt, but it did make things a little bit easier for my guy, Jaden. I think where he goes is going to be really, really, really fascinating. So, Thursday night, I still don't know what I'm doing for draft night. I'm going to try and jump on with you, because you are my favorite NFL personality for a little bit. Who all is going to be with you on the show Thursday?
Yeah, we got to bring in as many surprise guests as possible.
Well, I definitely got a peek in there, but
yeah.
But yeah, we'll see you guys then. Okay, peace.
Peace out, guys. Appreciate you all tuning in today. We will see you next time. Bye.